Hallelujah. All ye saints of light proclaim, everybody.
Jesus, the light of the world,
life and mercy in his name.
Jesus, the light of the world.
Hallelujah.
We walk in the light, beautiful light, comes where the dewdrops of mercy are.
Shine all around us,
shine on around us, by day.
Shine here among us today, that we will know how to walk in the midst of this dark world, in the name of Jesus. Tell three people around you, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. Tell them and sit down. Tell somebody and sit down. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. It's a commandment. It's a commandment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, the purpose of our Bible study, I keep emphasizing it every day, every opportunity I have, is not to stuff our head with knowledge, but to give us reason to be serious with our eternal destination. If this knowledge does not make you a better Christian, then all this teaching is in vain. There's something that Apostle Paul told Timothy. I always want to emphasize it here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. From verse 15. It says, and that from 2 Timothy 3:15, yes. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17. That the man of God, the woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My emphasis this morning, this from this scripture, is that Timothy has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And I preach a message that I titled Wisdom Unto Salvation, because this Bible, there are many things that you can derive from this scripture. I mean, from this Bible. If you want to be a billionaire on this earth, you can get it, work it out through this scripture. If you want to kill your enemies, destroy everyone, fall down and die, it's in this Bible. Witches, use this Bible. And if you are looking for the way to go to heaven, it is in this Bible. Praise God. There are scriptures that have no salvation virtue in them. And there are scriptures that will give you wisdom unto salvation. I mean, those are the scriptures I look for when I read my Bible. When I read my Bible, church, listen, I don't need God to be a billionaire. Am I saying something very hard? Because there are billionaires that don't even want to hear the name of God. Do you understand what I mean? Amen. Anything you want to acquire on earth here, you can get it by even abuse God and you still get it. But, amen. I want to go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, praise the Lord. It is here in the Bible. Because I want to go to heaven, so I search for scriptures that will give me wisdom on how to walk here on earth and how to walk with God to be able to go to that heaven. I want to have eternal life. I want to live eternally. And that is exactly what my passion is. I didn't say I don't believe in prosperity. I said there's prosperity in this Bible. But John said that he wished above all things that you will prosper, even as your soul prospereth. The soul prospers first before any other prosperity should come for you as a believer. That is the emphasis. And the book of Hosea concerning the children of God, people go to church. Hosea chapter 4 is a popular scripture. Verse 6. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My emphasis there is that they are my people. So they are truly God's own people. God's own people can be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, you, God's people, somebody here. He said, because they have rejected knowledge, he said, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. See the effect of rejecting God's knowledge, because it's a different thing if you are ignorant. But it's another thing when you are told this is how to get knowledge and you refuse to follow it. You see, how do you get knowledge? The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, it's a commandment again. It says, get wisdom. Get understanding, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. It's a commandment. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. And knowledge shall preserve thee. Love her. Love knowledge. And she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. How do you get it? The same Apostle Paul told Timothy, he says, study. That's how to get it. Praise God. Listen, you don't know God by prayer. You don't know God by fasting. If not, Sele will know God more than us. Aladura, we know God more than us. Because Angel Jagura will be telling them things. Angel Jagura. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What prayer does is that it keeps you connected to heaven. Creates a spiritual atmosphere around you that makes you do exploits, drive Satan far from you, keep sin even far from you, certain temptations, because we fall into temptations because we are in the flesh. But when you subdue the flesh by bringing your spirit man up, then you are in a position to stay away from certain temptations, certain lusts around. That's what it does. But when your spirit man comes up, do something. Study. He says, study to show thyself what? Approved. Unto who? Unto who? Because some people are getting approved unto their denomination, unto their pastor, their GO. Unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. That is what Apostle Paul told Timothy. Study every minister, because he was a minister. My favorite Bible, scripture, chapter, book in the Bible, when I became a pastor, is the book of Titus and Timothy. To listen to how Apostle Paul told them to run the ministry. And it has helped me. Praise God. So we must study. We must study. And I know that when you are established on the word of God, amen, you become a better Christian. It's easier to lead you than to lead carnal people. Because people who are loaded with the word, anytime you do something wrong, I quote the Bible to you, you will melt. Because you will remember, yeah, it's true. God says so. You don't see some people pick microphone and they are asking me questions. Hey, pastor, you say that we should study to show ourselves approved. Now, me to come. He said, you say, even when I say what the Bible says, because he doesn't know where it is in the Bible. But when you meet, see, if there is any man here, you have been coming to this church. You are a married man, you have been coming to this church. And you are still beating your wife at home. You know, it is evidence that you have ear that cannot hear. Because every woman that you came here with your wife, you should be able to see that within this period you came to a church like this, your wife should be able to tell you, honey, you have changed. And what did he change by? An agreement I had with him? No. Because he had the word. The same thing with a sister. Married woman. Your husband should be able to testify, since we went to that church, oh, you don't change. And if your husband has not told you that, you have not yet changed. It means there's still work to be done. And the only way you will change is taking heed to what you hear, nothing more. Don't let something enter one ear and come out another ear. It's wrong. Praise the Lord. Do you know there are some brothers here, young brothers, that don't know how to do courtship. They are not romantic. Upon how I teach about courtship, lie. They are not romantic. I try to balance things here. I told everybody, look, I have sermon for married women, married men. I have sermon for single sisters, single brothers. And you should act on it. Act on it. Even married brothers, you must be romantic. Spice your marriage. Spice it. Brother, you are an intercessor. Every time you are praying, create time also. Not every time when they pray for a house. So there, you have no time to mingle with your wife and jingle a little. Every time, pray. And to you, that is evidence that you are spiritual. You are not spiritual, though. The spiritual man knows that you have to take care of your wife. Her emotional part. In fact, those who suffer it more are ministers' wives. Ministers' wives. See, I am your pastor. I am romantic. With my wife. Go and find out from my wife. So you must learn. Praise the Lord. You must be romantic. So I'm here to teach you complete Christianity. Complete Christianity. That's what I teach you. Total package. It's total package. Total package. How you should dress, how you should walk, how you should act is all in this Bible. It's all in this Bible. Praise the Lord. I was very happy when I branched to buy something for my family in one restaurant and I saw a minister and his wife in one corner, Pastor John Paul and his wife. They left their children. They went to a Chinese restaurant. They went to a Chinese restaurant, two of them. I walked to their table. I said, see two of you sitting down here. People go to say, now boyfriend and girlfriend, they sit down here. They don't say you leave your 45 children for house. It's time. Leave them aside and enjoy yourself small. That means they are copying. And then when I said, he said, no, they must practice it. That's how it should be. And I'm very sure. Pastor Thomas, where are you? Oh. Praise the Lord. He's a very romantic man. Can we go to our Bible study now? Can we continue now? Amen. We are studying the book of Revelation. It is the book for the bride. It is the bride's love letter. From the bridegroom to the bride. It is our love letter. And that's why it is reserved for only us. We are happy that God has given us the privilege to understand what He is set to do on earth. And we've been looking at the seven church ages. We've taken Revelation chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. It occurred to me that I did not stress something in the Philadelphian church age, the sixth church age. Remember that that age fulfilled the fifth parable in Matthew chapter 13. And this is chapter 13 and verse 45. Amen. Matthew 13 verse 45 is the parable also expressing the sixth church age, because it is the sixth parable there. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And I think I got carried away and I did not stress that emphasis of that pearl of so much price. Praise God. Now watch it. That he went and sold all that he had and bought it. See that word, price. There's a difference between price and price. Price, price, is an award, a reward. But price is cost, value, cost that you pay to be able to have something. The value placed on something to be able to have it. And it is so much of great price, that pearl he had, that is so much of great price that he had to sell all he had to be able to have that pearl. But the price is so great. What was the revelation he caught? He caught the revelation of a holiness without which no man will see God. That lets me know that to achieve holiness, it goes with a price, which I forgot to mention. That people who preach grace, salvation, and you have nothing to forgo for it, because I say they are deceiving the people. I'm telling you, because there must be, I mentioned something recently, some people misunderstand me. I said that when you see us not wearing earring, our sisters, not putting on trousers, when you see us living the kind of life we live, for instance, we don't go after women the way we do, no matter how beautiful they are. And I was trying to explain something. I said, it's not that we sisters, we don't like earring. You like it. It's natural. It's something beautiful. Because you see it in the unbelievers, and to you, they have so glamorized it until they make you think that you are not beautiful without it. It's a feminine thing. You see it. You like it. But something constrains you. Because you want to have a relationship with God. Therefore, the cost of having that relationship with God is all those jewelries and fashions that you forego. Oh, I wish somebody will understand me. Praise the Lord. Not that we don't like it, we like it. Tell me any man here who does not like a beautiful woman. Who like ugly woman? Praise the Lord. And she offers it to you freely. They are all around your office. They full Ladipo and Aspanda. They are selling them everywhere on the streets. Everywhere free. In the universities free. They are everywhere free. Free. Don't pay. Don't pay. Just let's feel alright. Free. And nobody will even see you when you are doing it with them. But you want to have a relationship with God. When I gave you an example, I said I went to visit a friend after I got born again. That we used to chase women in those days together. He's a military officer. I said I was in his office. Suddenly, when I entered to greet him, there was a beautiful girl sitting down. And he said she was Miss, one of the states, Miss somebody, a beauty queen. Oh, I greeted her, how are you? He's a married man with children. But here I see him with his girlfriend there. And when he was seeing me off in the car park, the girl came out that she was going. And he, greeted her and left her to go. And as she was going, she was shaking her bum bum at the back. And then he said, Alu, see what you miss now. He said, Alu, see. Then I told him, I called his name. I said, no. I said, we were in secondary school together. There is, in economics, there is a law of opportunity cost. I said, we know that one. I said, I call his name. I said, I almost called the name now. Yeah, God help me. I call his name. I said, wait. I said, no, he said, I don't like him. Now, me and you before, we do this one. But now, I have a choice. If I will follow God, I will drop that. But if I will follow this one, I will drop God. So, I have to choose. So, my choice, hallelujah, of following God has cost me that lifestyle. Hallelujah. That is it. The pearl of great price. There are things that you have to do away with. And it even includes persecution. You will be ready to face persecution. You will lose your job because you don't wear your ring, you don't palm your hair. Because you don't wear trousers, you may not get a certain job, no matter how qualified you are. Because you will lose your job because you refuse to sleep with your boss. It is all the price you pay for that pair. And that is the age that ushered in and emphasized holiness in every ramifications until the Pentecostal age entered, and that same Antichrist spirit pierced through and scattered that thing. And we are where we are today until comedians now come to the church. No more holiness. Now it doesn't matter. Pastors are preaching, doesn't matter. Come anyhow you like. Come anyhow. But God will help us. Praise the Lord. I must make that comment for that Philadelphian church age. And we came to the concluding part of our teaching, the Laodicean church age, which is the seventh church age. And we saw the period it covered. What the age represented, the parable it represented, and how they were presented in various ways. So today we will mention the messenger. We'll look at the messenger. Remember that we have seven star messengers. We have seen the last six. Every age had a star, had a messenger that hold the light for that age. We have emphasized that. Please go back to all our tips on this study of the book of Revelation and follow us as you listen to them. May the Lord grant you understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 13, that the Lord Jesus Christ presented it in that last parable. I told you, he showed John the Baptist as seven church ages. Apostle John in the Isle of Patmos. Then he came, Matthew caught it, and then showed those seven church ages. They are Gentile church ages. He showed them through seven parables in chronological order like that of their fulfillment. We saw that the seventh church age fulfilled the parable of the net in chapter 13, verse 47 to verse 50, which we treated last week. Then something happened in identifying the messenger. The messenger to the seventh church age is so important that he had to be presented in the scriptures in a special way. Now, he went to verse 51. The parable of the householder. Jesus said unto them, after he had spoken all the seven parables, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe, praise God. He didn't say scribes. Every scribe, one scribe, which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a man that is an householder. What does he do? Which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And if there is any messenger that has brought out both new things out and the old things together, bring them for a total picture to us, it is William Branham that fulfilled that in this age. Hallelujah. He brought the Old Testament and gave us what it represented, the shadow, and what it fulfilled in the New Testament. He is the one that made us to understand until, in trying to express it so much, until he made this statement. He said, this is thus said the Lord. He said, the Jehovah God of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Praise God. He's the one that has balanced scriptures and brought out revelations. Things, the depth of the things that pertain to salvation, brought the picture together and gave us. So therefore, he became the messenger of the Laodicean church. It's fulfilling that parable. Also, in picking the star messengers for every age, Apostle Paul was the reference, being the first star messenger to the first church age, the Ephesian church age. So, anyone that is approximated to be the closest in ministry, in everything, to Apostle Paul in that age, is selected to be the star messenger. And he was the light bearer for that age. And the nearest to Apostle Paul in all aspects, in the depth of revelation, in the demonstration of power and in vindication from above in this age, the closest to Apostle Paul is that man, William Marion Branham. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Also, number three, I am proving that it is William Branham who is the messenger to this age. We have a parable in Matthew 25 of the foolish and the wise virgin. And that while the bridegroom tarried, they went out, both wise and foolish virgin went out to meet the bridegroom. But while he tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. What is the cry saying? It said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. It said, go ye out to meet him. And we see that it is a ministry. While the church was in a condition of slumber, While the church was not watchful anymore, because the Lord tarried, it went to a condition that can be best described as a sleeping or slumbering condition, spiritually speaking. Then a ministry sprang up, pointing the people, wake up. What is he pointing them to? To the coming of the Lord. And remember, I told you, at the time of William Branham ministry, we had three prominent ministers in that same America. It was William Branham, Oral Roberts, and Billy Graham. To the three groups that the church was divided into. We had the evangelicals. Their leader was Billy Graham. And we had the Pentecostals. Their leader was Oral Roberts. Mighty power. You know, Oral Roberts was known for prosperity. Pointing people to wealth. He's the one, it was from him that began this prosperity thing that is happening today. You cannot be poor. You cannot be poor. Seed faith, and until he built Faith University. And all that, we all know. We know everything. We know all these, the things that they were doing then. But then we had another group that had to spring up that was led by William Branham, the bride. He shouted with a message, come out of her, my people. Christ is coming soon. That was the ministry that began to point us again to heaven in a unique way. Praise the Lord. Remember, Apostle Paul also said that the coming of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, he will come in three stages. And the first stage that will herald the coming of the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. That shout is the midnight cry, the ministry that ushers in the coming of the Lord. William Branham fulfilled that. He preached it very, very passionately. Praise the Lord. Number four, the star messenger for this age shall fulfill the prophecy of Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and verse 6b. Can we read it again for those who may be hearing us for the first time? Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And this is what Elijah will do. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Watch that verse 6 again. Watch that verse 6. Two things are to be done. And is Elijah will turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And Jesus said, told us in Matthew chapter 11, he said that Elijah has come already. And he let us know that John the Baptist was that Elijah. But that is the part that he fulfilled, turning the heart of the fathers to the children. We have explained that severally. I want to move forward. Therefore, there will be Elijah that will turn the heart of the fathers, the children, to the fathers. We, the apostolic children, the children of the apostles, because there shall be a departing from the faith, a departure from the faith, there will be a restoration ministry. And there's only one ministry that has come to restore us back to the Bible in this age. At least he started it. And that man was William Marion Branham, fulfilling the B part. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And also note that God is known by his characteristics. The office of a prophet is very important in the leadership of God's people. God wants to rule the church by himself, not by men. And so, we see a pattern. For the word of the Lord always comes to the prophet. And the church of Jesus Christ started with a prophet, it will also end with a prophet. Hallelujah. The church of Jesus Christ started with a prophet. Who is that prophet? Place them. Some will say it's Apostle Paul that started it. Yes, I agree that Apostle Paul started it. But let's look a little bit deeper. The church of Jesus Christ himself, he started his church by himself. And Jesus Christ has three offices. Jesus Christ has three offices to fulfill. He came first and foremost as a prophet, known as the Son of Man, to prophesy. After he has prophesied, his next office is the high priest of our profession. He is now seated in the right hand of the Father, making intercessions. He is our high priest. Then the third office is the king. He will come as a king. When he will be coming to rule this earth for 1,000 years, sitting upon the throne of his father, David. Three offices. Hallelujah. So when God wanted to harvest his children on earth here, he started with a prophet. When he wanted to bring his children out of Egypt, he did not send any other person but a prophet. Praise God. The church natural started with a prophet, Prophet Moses. And the church natural ended with a prophet. And Jesus described him as more than a prophet, John the Baptist. John the Baptist concluded the Old Testament era. I remember Moses said, the Lord your God, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Why? It was an exodus. To pull out his people out of the law unto grace. Like Moses, pull out his people from Egypt to the promised land. So also, the church of Jesus started with a prophet. And that prophet had a messianic sign. And that messianic sign was displayed in John chapter 4 by that Samaritan woman at the well. And it was by that sign, when he began to discern that woman at the well, that that woman said, our teachers say, when the Messiah will come, this is what he will be doing. Are you the one? And he told that woman, yes, you are correct. I am the one. There is a sign that made her to know this is the Messiah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That same spirit, that same angel that went to visit Abraham and Sarah was at the backside of the tent, was preparing food for them, and she was overhearing a discussion between that angel and her husband Abraham. And the angel was saying, by this time of life, your wife Sarah will conceive. She was already getting to almost 90 years. And the woman laughed. I beg, if this woman, if you are hungry, come and eat and go. And he heard it. Why does Sarah laugh? Why are you doubting? Is anything too hard for the Lord to do? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It was a sign that repeated again in the ministry of William Branham. Forget it, remember, each time God moves, carnal people will begin to impersonate it. Forget that everybody is making discernment now. All the chukwe chukwe prophets everywhere. Now, Babalawos have changed their signboard. And spirit of divination, they have now carried Bible, Satan, so that they will rubbish that genuine gift. But unknown to them, that is where God has the joker. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They said the Lord will raise up a prophet like unto me. Moses said so. So let's look at Moses. And let's look at that prophet also. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Moses was given a sign to go and show Pharaoh that he's from God. He dropped a stick to turn to snake. And the palace of the Pharaoh, hallelujah, there were magicians. When Moses dropped his own, turned to snake, by their magical enchantment, they also dropped their own. It became snake. When you want to say, will Abraham, is this, is that, God use him to do this. They are thinking that we are talking about the power that God manifested through him. It was not the power. It was to cause an attraction so that the people will receive a message. There is a voice of that sign. I have taught you that before. Let them do all the abracadabra they are doing in Christianity today. It can never move a bride of Jesus Christ. Because when you go close to them, you want to see, after all this power, what is the message?